Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They're awesome. LSU wasn't, but the Pelican House has 136 draft beers. They have a 50-foot TV. They have a late-night menu. They have an awesome regular menu. They have everything you could ever want to watch sports, football, or just go out regular dining during the week. It doesn't have to be during football season. The Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You should support them because they support us. The Saints are 4-4 for the fourth time in 5 years. They have climbed out of the abyss to 500 in the craptastic NFC. I felt like, even though the Saints ran for 248 yards, Dave, I feel like they didn't run it enough. And your boyfriend, it's true, man. I feel like they didn't run it enough. Like they should have run it more. I think they should. They should have got three. They should have had 325. But Dave, your boyfriend Mark Ingram, he's balling yesterday. He looked like he was back at Bama playing a directional vocational academy or something.
I mean, you know, we got to see Angry Ingram. He made his first appearance of the season. And, you know, in a way it's surprising after last game and getting benched for fumbling. But then in a way, obviously, it's not surprising. I mean, it's good to see Ingram respond. Like, this was obviously his chance. Peyton obviously said, okay, I'm going to give you another chance here. You know, don't fuck it up. And he is mature enough that he absolutely did not fuck it up and made the most of it. You know, he had like 150 something yards, I think, half of that, almost literally half of that.
Yeah, I liked how
came
Jen
off that
Hale,
one run, but that run looked beautiful.
Even without the 75 yarder, I mean, he still had like 14 carries for like 80 something yards. I mean, he was solid even without it.
Yeah. I feel like Jen Hale reporting the conversation that he had with Peyton breathlessly, like it was super news, was incredible. I mean, me and Kevin could reenact that conversation right now. Kevin, I'll be Sean Payton, and you can be
listen.
And
Jen
you be Mark
Hale.
Ingram.
Jen Hale can read the phone book. Okay. To me, and I am going to be wrapped with interest staring at my television, okay?
Yeah. I guess.
Hi, Jen Hale. How are you?
Hi. Well, I'm sure she enjoys covering the Saints than the Pelicans, for God's sakes. Good Lord.
So that means her standards can't be high, so I might have a chance.
Yeah. All right.
Something tells me she doesn't like dorky wrestling geeks.
Some ladies love the wrestling.
Maybe she likes
Jen Hale not being one of them.
Andrew, maybe I need to start a t-shirt business.
Andrew, I feel like as Saints fans, we are connoisseurs of bad defense. We're experts in it. We know it when we see it. This 49er run defense, I think it's worse than anything I've ever seen the Saints drag out here the last 4 years. I mean, that run defense is bad. I mean,
yeah, it's. Yeah, I mean, you have to consider your opponent, obviously, and the Saints haven't really had the run game, haven't gotten the run game going. I mean, you know, they got a 100-yard rusher in Hightower against the Seahawks, and that in of itself was impressive, but yeah, I mean, clearly, you have to consider the opponent when you saw what Ingram and Hightower were supposed to do, and when, you know, when they're running for over 200 yards, when the Saints are running for over 200 yards, and Sean Payton
even when
helps they, himself. I mean, he prevents himself from throwing. I mean, normally he can't help himself.
Well, here's the thing, though. They would.
It's got to be a uniquely special kind of bat.
They were running the ball, and I'd be like, "Yeah, they didn't get too much there." And it'd be like, second and four. I mean, you knew Sean Payton didn't respect the 49er run defense when early in the game it was third and one and he's throwing bombs because, you know, he told Carmack, he's like, throw the bomb. If we don't get it, we're just going to run it. Don't worry. But Kevin, here's the thing. Drew Brees in 2011 threw for 5,476 yards, 46 touchdowns, and 14 picks. This year, he's on pace for 5,400 yards, 41 touchdowns, and 11 picks. What does this man have to do to even get mentioned for the MVP, much less win it? Kevin, have we lost Kevin? Are you there, Kevin?
He put himself on.
Sorry, I hit mute because I'm a dope.
Yeah.
Somehow or another, they'll find a way. Tom Brady's name will find a way to get mentioned, even though he only played 12 games, and that'll be used as a selling point.
Can we get political for just 10 seconds? Donald Trump had
I was going to get political later about electoral votes,
well,
but whatever.
Donald Trump said Tom Brady told him that he voted for him, and Donald Trump, he said Tom Brady told him to say tell everybody to support Donald Trump, and to top it off, he read a letter that Bill Belichick wrote him tonight.
Uh-huh.
So, if you hate the you want a reason to hate the Patriots anymore, your mileage may vary. But my wife is like, I don't need a reason to hate Tom Brady. But Kevin, do you think Drew Brees? I mean, what does the man have to do? Does he have to? Does he have to cure cancer? Like, what does he have to do to be mentioned in the top four MVP candidates?
Play in New York, maybe. Watch Matt Ryan get more consideration.
Oh, I mean, Matt Ryan's having a really good year, but
Matt Ryan is getting more consideration already. And it's going to be tough. Ezekiel Elliott is having a good year too.
Oh my God.
If the Falcons win the division and let's say the Falcons end up going 11-5 and let's say the Saints somehow pull out 9-7. I can definitely see Matt Ryan getting more consideration because the Falcons won the division and had a much better record.
Yeah.
I mean, the Falcons, the NFL just tweeted yesterday that the Falcons are averaging more yards per play than any other team since the greatest show on turf, St. Louis Rams in 2000. So
yeah, Atlanta, we'll get to Atlanta. I think
even more than the Saints in 2011. So that's pretty good.
Speaking of the Saints,
I mean, you remember how good the Saints offense was in 2011.
Speaking of 2011, Andrew, I feel like Michael Thomas is a wizard. And
what does that have to do with 2011?
And the Saints are about to go. The Saints are about to go full 2011, where Michael Thomas is Jimmy Graham, a la 2011. But more importantly, Michael Thomas is a wizard.
Well, Jimmy Graham is acting like Jimmy Graham right now.
2011.
I don't know if you're why he's like at 96 yards and two touchdowns at halftime with a couple one-handed catches. He's looking awesome for Seattle. You look at how Mike Thomas has played, and I think if the Saints had known he was going to be like this, they would have taken him with the 12th pick instead of Sheldon Rankins.
Christ, Michael Thomas. If people knew how good Michael Thomas was, he should have been in the top five.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. How many four receivers got picked ahead of him? Right? Treadwell, Coleman.
I haven't heard anything about Treadwell.
Treadwell has one catch.
Did he get injured?
One catch. Nope.
He's not injured?
Wow.
Nope. He's just terrible.
I lobbied hard for the Saints to take him, too.
All right. Before we get to the actual...
You're a good man for admitting your mistakes, Andrew.
Before we get to the rest of the Saints' offense, defense, the 49ers, even though the Saints skull-dragged them pretty much, they did something so amazing that we have to talk about it. The end of the first half, somebody described it on Twitter as the full Browner, where with 11 seconds to go, the Saints ran a play, and all the 49ers defensive backs either held or Eric Reed, their safety, just flat out tackled Michael Thomas, I believe, and was like, nope, Saints, you're getting a field goal. We're not even going to let you run a play. We're just going to hold or tackle your receivers. And, Andrew, I thought it was phenomenal. I don't know why more teams don't do this at the end of games or the end of the half. I mean, that was straight up.
Yeah.
It was straight up gangsta.
I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't do it. Like, let's say there was 15 seconds left and the other team has the ball at their own 20. Like, why would you give them 30 yards if they need a field goal? Let's say, why not just hold them, make like 6 seconds elapse off the clock, and basically just
make them run a Hail Mary from the 20.
Yeah. Just like, instead of letting them run a Hail Mary, just hold the receiver, just take the 5 yard penalty and let the clock run.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, Belichick is going to do this at some point. I got this. I kind of hope Belichick does it. I hope Belichick does this and annoys the shit out of everybody, and the league has to make some sort of obnoxious rule change because of it.
We need it in a playoff game. We need the full
yes.
Browner in a playoff game.
Anything that embarrasses the league and forces them to have to overcorrect on something is fine by me.
Now, Andrew,
it was genius.
It was
unbelievable.
It was complete. But
I mean, they knew Breeze was going to score on them. They knew, and they're like, we are not giving you a touchdown.
No.
We will hold all your guys. We will cheat, and you will take a field goal.
Andrew, I was reading your grades today, and your defensive grades were bad. And I was feeling pretty good about the Saints defense. I was like, well, they held San Francisco to 2-9 on third down. They created some turnovers. It wasn't great, but by Saints standards, it was all right. It was pretty good. And you just killed the Saints in them grades. So
yeah, I mean, I feel like 23 points, which is what they gave up, was a little misleading in that, you know, they were 1 yard away, first of all, from it being 30, you know, without that fumble. But also, I think the frustrating thing was just the chunk plays. I mean, I think the turnover on downs on that. Yeah, I mean, I think the fourth and one, and then the four turnovers besides that kind of mask what was otherwise a pretty terrible performance. But it was frustrating to see them return the ball continually to the 35-yard line. And then it felt like they were inside the Saints 40 two plays later, you know, where they would run a simple out route. And it was simple stuff. I mean, they weren't doing anything crazy. I mean, a tight end would run a crossing route, you know, make a catch 2 yards off the line of scrimmage and run for 15 more. And, you know, there was a flare pass in the flat to the running back, and he goes 60 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like Kaepernick was making these insane throws and the receivers were just straight up beating corners down the field. It was real simple stuff where, you know, they had just had to chase the guy down and tackle him, and it wasn't happening.
Dave, I feel like the Saints pass rush is getting worse.
Sucks. Sucks. Go ahead, say it.
It sucks.
I was not asked a question.
No,
Ralph just said it feels like
I feel like the pass rush is getting worse.
Agree
Do you agree?
You. I don't know if it was possible really to get worse. There was fairly non-existent to begin with. I just think it's just always been shitty. It just does not exist. There is no such a thing.
Well, I felt like they were getting a little internal pressure with Fairley. I felt Fairley's not playing as good as he had been. You know.
I mean, like, I watched the Broncos and the Raiders. You know, last night that was a great game to watch if you like defense. I mean, I feel like your other teams have linemen. They're getting their hands up. They're batting down balls. I mean, we got nothing. We have absolutely nothing.
Andrew, is the pass rush, is it worst case scenario right now?
I feel like it might be.
I mean, the Saints are currently tied for dead last with 11 sacks, along with the Giants and Steelers, dead last in the NFL. So three teams tied there. So I just don't see how it could be any worse than being last in the NFL in sacks. I mean, can you? I mean, I guess they could have 5 sacks instead of 11 and be by an appreciable distance the worst. But you know, the bottom line is, you know, they got a little bit going for Mick fairly early in the season. He's kind of tailed off. And Cam Jordan's the one guy I feel like who is a threat to get a sack a game. You know, he's the guy that's capable on any given Sunday of getting a sack or half a sack or whatever. I mean, he's the constant, and there's really nothing else. I mean, Paul Kruger isn't doing anything.
Paul Kruger, my God, is he even alive? I feel like he might be dead.
Kruger.
So I mean, this defense, man. I mean, this pass. I mean, let me ask you.
Cam Jordan is as good as they have, and he is not. Saints just. I mean, yeah, no. I mean, the Saints just do not have. They have nobody along the line who can just kind of take over a game.
Take over a game, man. I'm just talking about like Willie Whitehead, Bobby McCray type replacement level pass rusher, man. You know, here's a question for y'all, because the Saints have had a ton of injuries. I'll start with you, Kevin. If I said to you, you can have one Saints player magically return from injury, who would you want?
I think I'm the wrong guy to ask, because I tell you, because I don't know enough about who's injured, but I'll make the comedy answer and I'll say Jairus Byrd from whatever Phantoms. He's been in for forever and a goddamn day.
Well, if you ask Nick Underhill, he would say who, man?
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
He loves his tight ends. Andrew, who would you, if I told you could have one Saints guy back, who would you want?
I mean, you know, we just talked about the pass rush. You know, I don't know how good Kikaha would be. But he couldn't be worse than Kruger. I mean, there would be some semblance of improvement in that department. So for me, it would definitely be Kikaha.
Dave?
Yeah, I mean, Kikaha's a good pick. If I had to pick somebody else, I'd maybe go with, you know, maybe like either Damian Swan or PJ Williams. It'd be nice to have another corner. Now that we've got Bro back, I mean, that's great. Rankin's back, that's also great. It'd be nice to have another cornerback.
Can I say Guachum? Just because I like to say the name Guachum.
I love how none of us even said Ellerby, because he's just like assumed dead at this point.
Ellerby, man. Ellerby, you got a good quarter out of Ellerby. Like, that's all
your options
get.
Are to return a Saints player from IR, not to return a player from the grave.
I mean, Ellerby, man. They must he must be a great guy to have around, because, I mean, they ran off Keenan Lewis. Snap. You know? But Ellerby, man, Ellerby's always hurt, and they just keep him around, man. He didn't even play 2 quarters. He played like a quarter and a half, right?
He has a nice personality.
He does.
He's the Mark Simoneau of the defense.
Yeah.
What I want to know is two guys with broken legs have come back sooner. Like, what's wrong with that quad? Does he have an alien growing inside of it?
All right. Here's an interesting thing that me and Andrew were talking about today. You know, Kobe Fleener, the Saints signed him for pretty big money for a tight end, and people were kind of aghast at the time. They're like, we don't need it. But I feel like, Kevin, that because Michael Thomas is so awesome, that like Kobe Fleener is like this really expensive thing that the Saints bought that they don't use anymore. Like that thing you see on TV, like the Peloton, where you can like bike the Tour de France, and then you like,
right,
you like bought it, but then you're what, like you bought it and then like your wife was like 3 weeks later, she's like, I'm pregnant, and then so you don't use it, and you spent like $2,000 on it, and it wasn't like, at the time it wasn't a terrible investment, but now you're kind of like, man, god damn it, I shouldn't have bought the freaking Peloton. You're making payments on it. I mean, do the Saints, do you think, do they have a little buyer's remorse on Fleener because of Michael Thomas being so awesome?
Probably. I mean, didn't they wave two guys and they signed another tight end? Like, I mean, how many times Josh Hill?
Not really.
Josh Hill ended up with more catches than Fleener. I think I only remember hearing Fleener's name like once or twice.
How many he think he had? How many catches did he have? Andrew. Let's see.
Three catches for 42.
So, Andrew, do you think the Saints have a little buyer's remorse with Fleener or no?
Maybe a little bit, in the sense that if they knew it was going to play out this way, that Mike Thomas would be so good and Fleener would be kind of mediocre. I don't think they would do it. If they could do it over again, I don't think they would. But at the same time, I don't think he's been a bust. You know, I think he's been an adequate signing. He's done an adequate job. I don't think he's worse than Ben Watson. I think he's comparable to what Ben Watson was doing. And I wouldn't have paid $7 million a year for what Ben Watson was doing. But
dude, Kobe Fleener runs wide open a lot. Twice a game.
He might not be worth his contract, but the beauty of this offense is these receivers are so good and they're playing so well that sometimes you'll just see him go down the seam wide open. And Breeze will hit him we've seen it probably four times this year now where Fleener's caught a ball 15 yards down the field with no one within 5 yards of him. And that's what these weapons have done for him. So, you know, even though I think he's overpaid, he's making plays.
All right, first half awards. Round the horn, we'll go a couple questions. I'll start with you, Dave. Biggest, most pleasant surprise of the 2016 season so far?
I think you got to go with Mike Thomas.
Andrew, who you got as the biggest pleasant surprise?
Same.
Kevin?
I concur with the distinguished gentleman from Virginia and the T-shirt magnate from New Orleans.
I'm gonna say, even though he's declined a little bit the last couple weeks, Fairley is my biggest pleasant surprise, because we in training camp we knew Mike Thomas was going to be good. Maybe he's even better than our hopes and dreams for him.
I mean, if I'm forced to say something different, I would say Craig Robertson.
Oh, yeah, he's good, too. Oh, yeah. Exactly. But now here's a question. I'll start with you, Andrew. The biggest disappointment, non-injury related?
I guess Jarris Byrd. I think we kind of expect Jarris Byrd to play like this at this point. But at the same time, he's been healthy-ish, and he's been playing
healthy-ish,
and he's just not getting it done.
Kevin, your biggest disappointment, non-injury variety.
Laurinaitis.
Ooh, it's kind of injury related, but I'll let that go.
Oh yeah, no,
I can go because I mean you can kind of make a case for Steve. You can kind of make a case for Stephon Anthony too, but it's kind of injury related. But kind of.
Well, that's
not
who I was gonna say.
Yeah, I think you can go Laurinaitis. I mean,
because I mean prior to him disappearing with the injury, it was just like, where has he been?
I mean, I put Kruger up there.
Ooh.
Yeah, we were kind of excited about Kruger. We thought he might like
Stephon Anthony was a first round draft pick that doesn't even play anymore.
Yeah, I mean he was benched and not playing before the injury.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I agree. I would put Anthony at the top. Yeah. You know, I would put in the mix for pleasant surprises Will Lutz.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with him. He's pretty good. The thing is, man, Sean Payton, he almost has too much confidence in him. Like the 57-yarder on the grass outside. I mean, really, bro?
It was 55.
I hope you're drinking beer, Dave. and not burping up candy.
Nope.
IPA. I mean, that's a good answer. I mean, my biggest pleasant surprise, Jari Evans coming back. That's been delightful. You know, as
positively delightful.
It's delightful. He came back and he's kind of saved the day. I mean, we were thinking the Saints offensive line was going to be a disaster in August, and I mean, if you'd have said to me, if I'd have said to you in August, don't worry about it, guys. The number one pick you really need to worry about from 2015 is Anthony, because Pete's going to be just fine. It's going to be Anthony that's going to be a dumpster fire. You'd have been like, what? No. Are you watching these games? But that's how it went.
Are we ready to say that Andres Pete is a pretty good player?
I think we are, right? Is anybody?
All good, so I can trumpet this.
Go ahead.
No. No, I'm actually waiting for it to be declared before I really.
I mean, I think so.
Shoot off the fireworks.
The guy's playing left tackle.
Yeah. I mean, we have people on Twitter telling. They had people tweeting me on Sunday. They're like, they need to sit Armstead today because the 49ers are so terrible and just let Armstead rest. And I was like, good God, that wouldn't even have been. They'd have put you in a mental home if you'd have said that would be considered in August. But here we are. All right. I guess I'll start with you again, Kevin. For the second half, what is a reasonable goal that you think the Saints defense can achieve that will help them get to the playoffs? Like, pick, like, one
playoff.
Like one thing. Like, just one thing that you think the Saints defense could do that would really help them make the playoffs that's reasonable. That's reasonable.
All right. So I was looking – okay. Let me get back to my computer. I was looking at their turnover stats. And let me get that line again. They got four.
Plus four.
Yeah, they're plus four. I think – it would not be unreasonable to think they could get to nine.
Plus nine?
Ooh, that is... No. I mean, yeah. Well...
That's...
They could do it.
That's a lot. I mean, but...
Okay. Plus seven. Plus
all
seven.
Right. All right. Plus seven.
Plus seven. Plus seven.
That's a good one.
I'm trying to be bold here. I'm trying to be audacious.
That's well, then go plus nine.
Well, plus
dream big, my friend.
Plus nine is
all right. Fine. Fuck it. Plus nine.
Plus nine is not unheard. I mean, they'd have to be Drew Brees would have to be really good and not throw picks, and Mark Ingram would not have to fumble.
And well, he's fumbled twice. He may not fumble again.
Andrew, what's something reasonable the Saints defense could do that would really help them get to the playoffs?
I just think a reasonable hope would be that Rankins and Brooks
come on,
have
man.
An impact on the defense. That their return to health gives an option to kind of impact the defense in a positive way.
Okay, well, be more specific, like what does that entail for like rank?
So I think it entails like what are they ranked right now? 31st overall?
Yeah.
Are they still 31st?
No, they're like 29th. You know, they're 29th in points now. Allowed.
Yeah, but what are they in yards?
Ooh.
I mean, yards is the measure.
We good.
What's the yards is the measure by which, you know, most universally understood how good your defense is overall in the
yeah,
NFL
but it's a terrible metric though, I think.
I agree. but nonetheless, where are they right now?
Let's take a look.
31st, right? You looking it up for me?
I am looking it up. Doo, doo, doo. All right. Let's see.
You know what? Forget that.
They are 30th in yards. 408.5.
Who's behind them?
Cleveland at 421 and San Francisco at 428.
Wow.
Ouch, that's not
you know,
good
forget the yards. For me, they have shown ability to stop the run at times, and so I just think it's got to be that they have got to. I'd say for the rest of the year, if they can hold teams to under 4 yards a carry, so a total over these next 8 games of 3.9 or lower, I think they've shown enough run defense in some of these games that they're capable of doing that. And if they can do that, they will at least get themselves in situations where they can get off the field with 3rd and 5 or more. So I think if there's one goal that's attainable, they've shown that they can stop the run at times. They've got to go 3.9 per carry or better for the rest of the season.
They are 14th in third down conversions defense at 39%.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, but they've had the fewest third downs against them because they're terrible.
Yeah, that's because teams are gashing them.
Dave, what can the Saints? What's one thing the Saints can do to make the playoffs on defense?
Well, Andrew kind of stole my answer. I not necessarily bro. I think we know what we can get out of bro, but I was going to say Sheldon Rankins if he continues to develop over the second half of the season now that he's playing and getting experience. And
they're averaging 4.4 yards a rush, by the way, the Saints defense.
Okay. But if Rankins, you know, starts developing, gets a push up the middle, maybe he becomes a game changer for the pass rush in this defensive line.
Yeah. I'm going to say for the Saints, they need to get to 27th in points allowed, which means they have to average giving up the rest of the year 25 points a week. That'll get them to like 27.5 points a game, and it'll get them to like 27th in points allowed, which will be like out of the bottom 32, out of the bottom 5. It'll get them to 26. So that's my thing. They got to get them 25 points a week, which the last 3 weeks has been under 25 if you average it all together. So that's I think it's doable, maybe. Before we get
like your mom.
My mom is texting me. Apparently it's raining really bad in New Orleans tonight. Flooding different places.
It's just been raining. It hasn't rained in literally a month.
Yeah.
And as the old expression says, when it rains, it pours. And so today it was just like pouring all day.
Yeah. We got a bunch of questions.
Well, one thing I will say about the defense is you could tell that they were dropping into zones a lot. And they were kind of staying honest with their pass rush early because Kaepernick was under 50% for the year. I think he was at like 46% for the year in completions. And so I think they felt like if they just dropped in zones, he would miss targets. And he was pretty accurate. I thought he threw the ball pretty well.
Yeah.
And what you saw in the second half, they were like, okay, clearly this isn't working, so we're going to need to start blitzing. And when they got pressure on him and he was disrupted in the pocket, he started to be less accurate with his throws and he started missing a bit. So I think Dennis Allen needs to get more aggressive. I realize that you've got B.W. Webb and Sterling Moore and guys back there that you don't really trust in single coverage. But the alternative is what we saw, where these quarterbacks in the league now, like most of the time against a zone when you have no pressure, they're all too good and they're all going to tear you up. So the second half of the season, what I would like to see out of Dennis Allen is way more blitzing, way more aggressiveness.
All right, let's go to the Twitter questions. I asked people to do make fun of Denver and San Francisco and give us political themed Saints questions. I like this one. This is from Allie, super fan of the podcast. Kevin, I'll give you this one. What's more likely, Cap showing up to an interview in a Trump hat or Cap San Francisco winning another game?
Cap in San Francisco winning another game.
They'll win a game. They're not like 1-15 bad. They're going to win the game.
I tell you what, Cap would just as soon have one of his legs amputated.
He probably would.
Then try and cram. I know, try and cram that magnificent afro under a red cap.
I know it's the Saints defense, but I think that if Kaepernick would go to Cleveland or go somewhere with a good, decent coach, I think you could make him a serviceable quarterback. Jim Harbaugh did it. It can be done. Let's see.
Wait, did you just say Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean Cleveland. Who's Cleveland? I mean Hugh Jackson. He's a pretty good coach, and they're I mean, they'll be.
They're winless.
That's. Cleveland.
Right. There's room for improvement.
That's right. Exactly. Here's a question.
You think about a good coach, and your first thought is the Cleveland.
Well, they got to. You got to go to a
place. A winless.
You got to go somewhere he can play, man.
You have 31 other options besides San Francisco, and your one pick is the winless team.
I know.
To single out good coaching.
I mean, you know, he turned Andy Dalton.
Unbelievable.
He made Andy Dalton decent in Cincinnati.
Listen, I tell you what, I would put him. Find out wherever Norv Turner is going to be an offensive coordinator, not a head coach. I repeat, not a head coach. Norv Turner as an OC, and send Colin Kaepernick there, and I guarantee you he will be top eight.
I don't know. Norv just got the can from Minnesota. Got the boot.
Yeah, let's be honest. If Kaepernick goes to Cleveland, he's getting injured the next start.
Probably.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Here's a question from B. Milne, Andrew. Does the Electoral College have a better offensive line than LSU?
Oh, man. You know, LSU's offensive line has been up and down. They've had their moments, though. I think it was less about them being horrible. I do think they're a little banged up and more just about Alabama. I mean, Alabama just has – they're far superior talent-wise. I think LSU's got some guys, some athletes, some playmakers. I think there's a big discrepancy in coaching, but I think on the field their defensive line is just – I mean, they own everyone they play. This is nothing new.
Yeah.
I actually read the Electoral College is going to get an invite to the Big 12 next season.
They are. They score. Electoral College scores mucho points. This is from Joe Valente. Dave, can the Saints' bipolar defense not crap the bed enough for Drew and company to go 6-2 the rest of the season?
I don't know. I don't really think that the Saints' defense is bipolar. I think that they're still.
They give you two solid quarters a week. They give you two solid quarters every week.
Pretty crappy.
That's what they do.
6-2, I think, is pushing it. I think the ceiling for this team now, which is a high ceiling, I would say, is 9-7.
We'll get to predictions for the Saints in the second half. In a minute. This is from Patio. Andrew, time to give Marcus Murphy another shot. Fair catching a kickoff out of bounds is a new low. My God, the special teams, Andrew. What the fuck are they going to do?
I mean, I'm relieved when Jairus Byrd is back there.
Oh my God.
Because I know it's going to be a fair catch. Like, he's either going to let it go and it'll be a touchback, or he will catch the fair catch and not do something stupid. I feel like when you're relying on Jairus Byrd as your best option for anything, much of a low you sunk to.
Their kick returns are terrible and stupid, and their coverage was terrible. Brian Dixon is out there laying the dude out after he fair caught the ball. I mean,
the fair catch hit is always really stupid, but also kind of fun. Like, you just have some guy standing there waiting to get blasted. It's kind of fun to watch. Let's be honest.
Kevin, this is from.
But yeah, I mean, in return, yes. To answer the question, why is Marcus Murphy
on the team?
Even on the roster?
Yeah,
if he's going to be, why is he being carried if he's just going to be inactive? At this point, Cadet's gotten his chance. Tommy Lee's gotten his chance. I think it's time to give Marcus Murphy another shot. He was the most explosive in preseason.
Yeah. This is from David Howells, Kevin. Saints win another Super Bowl, but Trumps win election. Worth it? I say yes, but I'm across the Atlantic.
Yeah, way to pull for that one, asshole. You got no skin in the game. let's see.
I'd roll the dice for another Saints Super Bowl.
Ugh.
I'd roll the dice. You just got to keep Twitter away from Trump, just like you got to keep the nuclear codes away, just like they keep his Twitter away. That's all you got to do. And I'd roll the dice, me personally.
God,
it's tough. Super Bowl, man.
Yeah, it's shit.
Our own personal joy for the
destruction of the world.
Right. It's like...
What is it? Saints win a Super Bowl in exchange for Trump being president?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
During the... But here's the thing.
Don't make me answer this.
Trump's gonna get impeached, so then you have to deal with Mike Pence.
Yeah, but I even if you hate Mike Pence, I don't think Mike Pence would fire off a nuke somewhere because somebody tweeted at him and made him mad.
My biggest worry is not Trump nuking someone, it's Trump getting us nuked.
That is good point, Andrew. Good point. let's see. Do we have any more? I think that's
Yeah, how come nobody's made that is the first time I've heard somebody make that joke. Nobody's made that joke. This election season has lasted 3.5 years and nobody has made that joke.
There you go. Andrew Juge.
Yeah.
You're welcome, America.
Mr. Originality.
It is.
I'm here for you, Kevin.
He's at the Chuckle Hut.
I'm sure
Andrew
just made America great again.
He's at the Chuckle Hut Wednesday and Fridays. Let's see. We already answered that. This is a good one. What's more surprising, Kevin, when the defense holds on third down or when the offense fails to convert a third down?
Well, we just said that the defense is actually pretty good on third down, 14th in the NFL.
Here's a better question around the horn real quick before we get to second half record predictions. I'll start with you, Andrew. Are you at 2011 level confidence with this offense?
Yes.
Dave?
Yeah, without question.
No, I am not. I think they miss a weapon like Darren Sproles. And no, I don't think that they're at that level.
Kevin,
they don't give me that much.
Kevin, are you at 2011?
Yeah, I am not. I'm not at that level. I'm maybe like 07, 08, which was still fun. Like that's kind of what I'm looking at. Like 07, 08, where it's like, oh man, they could score at any point, and it's fun. I mean,
but
they
it's
didn't.
Like when it's like third and 16, you're not like they're picking it up, whatever. Like that's how that's how it was in 2011. Like the down and the distance, it didn't matter. You were like, whatever.
Yeah, it was irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean the line might not be as good. I'll give you that, but I mean it's just different. I feel like that year it was all about Sproles and Graham.
They're 2012.
You know, those were the guys.
I think they're 2012 level good on offense, and that offense was good. You just forget about it because the defense was historically terrible and we hated Spag so much. But they averaged 30 a week. You know?
I mean, Fleener is a good player. He's their fourth best receiver.
God, 2012, that was the bounty season.
Yeah, it was.
Or the suspension. Yep. God damn it.
But the offense
that far back.
That offense was good.
I mean, I really think the Saints' offense is... I mean, you can make the argument, as much as it pains me to say this, that the Falcons have the best offense in the NFL. But who would you say is second? I don't see how you can make a claim that anybody else is better than
the Saints. And the thing that sucks about the Falcons is over the last 2 or 3 weeks, they've gotten a pass rush. And their defense is still terrible, but they're eighth in sacks. And that means when they play crappy offensive lines like Tampa or Denver when they're missing people, they can get pressure. And that's the difference between them and the Saints, and it blows. All right, let's go. Before we get to the Denver game, remind everybody, thanks for everybody for donating to help us pay for the 2017 subscription. But keep donating. We know we might need a new computer, or Kevin needs a new wrestling tights or something. So any donation you can make, we appreciate it.
I actually do.
Yeah, so there you go. So, Andrew, I'll start with you. Second half record for the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Predict it for me.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this, you know, this team come back from 0-3, 0-4 to get back to 500. That's been the common, a common thing in the Sean Payton era, and it always ends at 7-9.
Yep.
You know, and so I feel like they expend a lot of energy to kind of get back. And then they kind of implode. I think this game coming up against Denver will tell us a lot. You know, if it's going to be different, the Saints are going to win this game at home and go to 5-4. if they lose this game at home and drop to 4-5, you know, then you got to go back on the road 4 days later and a tough game against the Panthers, who are playing better and are going to want revenge on the Saints. You know, I think that's how it quickly derails to 7-9 pretty quickly. So if they're going to make a run here, these next two games, you know, they have to show that they can go out and beat good teams. So you know, I, unfortunately, I'm picking 8-8, 7-9.
Kevin?
Let's see. I've been optimistic the last 2 weeks.
You have.
Yeah, I know, which is two consecutive weeks of me being optimistic about anything.
Keep it going.
This is borderline apocalyptic here, so screw it. I'll keep the theme going, and I'll say 9-7.
Ooh, 9-7.
Does 9-7 get them in?
Man, don't ask me that. Don't ask me that. I don't want to think about that.
9-7.
Just get 9-7. Yeah. Wouldn't 9-7? I tell you what. Wouldn't 9-7 be great if they go into the final game 8-7?
And they beat Atlanta and get there.
And they beat Atlanta to get into the postseason, and suddenly Atlanta goes from having the number one seed to having the two seed because of it.
Now, I say this: if the Saints get to 9-7, but they and they beat Detroit and Arizona and Atlanta, they'll get in. Because they'll hold enough. I think they'd hold enough of the tiebreakers. But Dave, what you got for the second half of the year?
Well, first of all, I'm a little disappointed that we didn't talk about my awesome prediction.
43.
From last week,
you predicted 42-24.
I predicted 42-24, and it was what, 41-23.
You did.
So I was 1 point off on each end, and I.
Did you pick Ingram too?
No, he didn't. He picked.
No, I picked Michael. I picked Mike Thomas.
Which
I
is close. Oh, okay, that's pretty good.
125. Well, I said he had 125 yards.
But Ingram
yards
was such
an
obvious pick for you, Dave. Yeah. I'm almost disappointed.
No. I look. Hey, to be honest with you, look, I'm gonna admit it. I didn't really have a lot of confidence in Ingram. I wasn't sure that I knew that Peyton.
Love
I knew
is
that
on
Peyton
the rocks.
Would give him a chance. Yeah, I knew Peyton would give him a chance, but. I figured he'd probably, you know, his first three
are
ones
you ready
would be like 2 yards,
vows,
and,
Dave?
And he would put him down on the bench. Yeah, you know, I never totally gave up on Mark. I still got love for Mark, but it's rocky. He like, you know, it's like an abusive relationship here.
So
he just constantly beats me, but I just keep coming back because I love him. I love him.
So what do you got?
I know he's not perfect. I know he's not perfect, and he's got his faults, but I love him. But anyway, regarding the second half of the season, I'll go with 8-8. I think that Andrew's right. I mean, this has like been the MO of every Saints season for the last 5 years. They battle back to 4-4, and usually they wind up losing the next game. So this game against Denver is a big one. And you know what? I really am not expecting them to win. I mean, Denver's defense. Denver's got the best defense in the league, and the Saints arguably have the best defense, best offense. So even if they don't necessarily win this game, if they at least look good and play them tough and it's a close game, I would still be somewhat optimistic about the rest of the season, but I still think that this is just an 8-8 team, really.
Man, all you Debbie Downers. Listen,
this... I'm really grateful. I'm having fun with the season, and I'm so pumped that the Saints have gone from 0-3 to 4-4, and that there's meaningful games in November, and that there's potential for meaningful games in December. At 0-3, it was looking bleak, man. It was looking bleak about 58 minutes into the Chargers game.
It was,
you know. So to be where they are now, I mean, I definitely. Remember where we were at that point in the season, and I'm really psyched about how it's played out.
I can't believe
That being said, like, if I'm being realistic, the Saints have to go 6-4 to make the playoffs. These next two games, they have to win them, in my opinion, if they want any shot at the playoffs.
I can't believe I'm the most positive of all you people. 10-6, motherfuckers. They're getting there, and I'm telling you why. This offense is
You have officially lost it. You are out of your goddamn mind.
I'm telling you, this offense is
here we go.
This offense is gonna murder everyone on this schedule except for Arizona. They'll lose to Arizona, and they'll lose probably to Tampa one time just because they're gonna have a clunker game where Drew Brees throws three picks. But they're going 10-6, and Michael Thomas is at least going to get people talking about him for Rookie of the Year because he's going to burn Carolina to the ground on Thursday. 10-6. That's what I'm saying. Can't believe it.
You realize that Michael Thomas plays wide receiver.
So you're saying they're going to win these next two, 6-4.
Yes. They're going to win. And we'll start with the Denver game. The Saints are a 1.5-point favorite. Denver is going to be without their starting running back. They're going to be probably without their best corner, Talib. They're going to be without their defensive end, Derek Wolf. I mean, their quarterback
Chris Harris is their best corner.
Even better than Talib, you think?
In my opinion.
Yeah. Well, they're going to probably be without Talib. So that's two starters on defense, and their starting running back, and their quarterback. Even though his shoulder's not hurt, he doesn't look right. He didn't look right against Oakland, and Oakland's defense is just as crappy as the Saints, and they held Denver down. The Saints are going to beat Denver 35-21, and hope is going to be out of control on Monday as the Saints get to 5-4. Andrew, your prediction. Oh, hero of the game is going to be the bro show is going to get a pick six. And it'll be three straight weeks the Saints have an interception.
First pick six since, 2011?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jonathan Vilma's had the last pick
2012.
Yeah. So a little tidbit for you. The Saints have not beaten the Broncos since 1994.
Yeah, we figured that out.
When Torrance Small went off on them for 200 yards. I remember that game because I remember thinking afterwards that Torrance Small, all right, well, the Saints went 7-9 and it's another useless season, but Torrance Small is going to be a beast next year because we figured out we have a good receiver and he was awful for the rest of his career. But, it hasn't been since 94. The Saints are due to beat the Broncos. I think it's going to be similar to the Seattle game, where the Saints won 25-20. I just think it's one of those things where Denver is going to get something going on the Saints offensively a little bit just because the Saints are so bad defensively. But I don't think it'll be consistent because the Broncos are not that good offensively. I think the Broncos are good enough defensively that they'll slow down the Saints offense. But the Saints can score on anyone. So I'm going to say 27-24, Saints win, and it'll come down to a Will Lutz field goal late.
Dave.
Well, that would be really nice. All of these predictions, they sound just absolutely lovely. I don't think it'll be a blowout by any means. I think the Saints will certainly hopefully be able to hang with them. But I think they're definitely going to end up on the losing end of this one. So I'll actually say, I'm going to say Saints 17, Broncos 24. And,
so the offense kind of gets shut down, huh?
Yeah. I mean, they'll still put up 17 points, but I think,
the team with the third worst run defense in football is holding the Saints to 17.
Okay. Look, this is coming from the guy. The guy who just said the Saints are going 10-6 is questioning me.
Fair enough.
Your mental state has already come into question.
So who's the go to the game then, Dave? If the Saints are going to lose.
Oh man, I'm not going to do that to him. You know what? I'm going to say Drew Brees. Drew's going to come out a little flat, a little cold. Maybe a couple of interceptions.
Ugh,
I mean, you know Armstead's not going to play, so I feel like a goat of the game could easily be Andres Pete.
Yeah.
I feel like this could be the game where we're like, oh, he's pretty good, he's not bad, and then he just gets
Vaughn Miller
by
rushes
Vaughn Miller.
Rushes from the goes against the right tackle though, right?
Yeah, I mean they move him around.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right.
I mean, I'm sure Streif will get a lot of help.
So
I think Breeze is going to take
Vaughn
a beating out
hurt?
There.
No.
Hasn't Vaughn Miller been hurt?
No, you're thinking of thinking of Ware. You're thinking of DeMarcus Ware.
Okay.
Is he out?
He's out too.
Oh.
Kevin, who you got in this game?
Is this in Denver or New Orleans?
It's in New Orleans.
It's in New Orleans.
Jesus.
Shit. That makes it even harder for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the Broncos are definitely banged up on defense, but I mean they're also it's not like the Saints. They're a deeper team.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But here's the thing. Can Trevor Siemian it's going to be a totally rejuvenated home crowd.
Yes.
Can Trevor Siemian handle that? Like that's what I'm wondering. Like if I think the game's going to be absolutely I think it'll be low scoring. I think the winner is going to be like the first team to hit 20.
I'm a little disappointed Kevin hasn't made a Siemian joke yet.
Yeah, Kevin. That's what the people
the best no,
what
no,
the
no,
people
no.
want.
No.
Are you growing up or something?
I mean, that's right in your strike zone.
It
Come
is,
on,
man.
Kevin.
Let's see. I'm going to say Saints 20. Broncos 17.
Yes.
And Trevor Siemian jizzes all over himself at midfield.
Bring in the heat. So who's the hero?
Well
Kevin?
Done.
Who's the hero of the
well
game?
Well done.
Well, Lutz.
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 Oh, I never said my hero. I'm going Vaccaro. That dude is playing. I mean, if there's one guy on defense that's a savage animal, it's him.
He is.
Vaccaro, I'm going to say pick six.
Pick six. So
I'm the only one picking the Saints to lose, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So that about wraps it up. You can go to Saints Nation and check out Andrew's defensive grades, which were just hilarious because it was all horrible. And the offense, Andrew was handing out A's like Tic Tacs. You know? So you can go to Saints Nation and read all that. You can go to Canal Street Chronicles and check out Dave. Dave's writing there sometimes. And you can find Kevin.
I dabble.
You dabble. And you can go to the Twitters and find Kevin and me tomorrow. Me and Kevin will be talking about the election. I'll be drinking very heavily.
I will be working.
The tweets could possibly get out of control.
Have you decided who you're voting for?
No. I don't want to do that. Final electoral college number.
Oh, that was a question that somebody had. I totally forgot. Will the Saints have more rushing yards against Denver than Trump has electoral votes?
Ooh. Okay. Well, then that's a good way to get into the electoral thing. Okay, so you guys start talking. I'm pulling it up right now.
How many votes do you need to? How many electoral votes do you need to win?
You need 270. But how many is
out
Trump
of how many?
Out of
538.
So okay. How much? The Denver average is giving up 128 yards on the ground. Trump is projected to get. I think Trump's going to get like 187. Electoral votes. Maybe if he gets Florida, he'll get in North Carolina. He might get into like the 230 range. But I'm thinking Trump's going to be like between 187 and 190, and that is I don't think the Saints are getting. I mean, Oakland got to 220 against Denver, but I don't think the Saints are going to get to 220 against Denver. So I'm going to go under because I think Trump's going to have about 187 electoral votes. So that's.
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
I just don't think Trump. Everything I know about politics and studied, and I love it, and it's fun, and everything tells me that like Trump not having to get out the vote operation and not doing canvassing and all that stuff, like, it's going to kill him in these states that are, like, going to be, like, razor thin. That some of them, like Ohio and Florida and North Carolina, like those 1 or 2 percentage points are going to kill him. And that's what's, you know, that's what's going to bump his total down. Instead of being relatively closer to Romney's totals, he's going to be closer to McCain's. So, Kevin,
hang on, let me see what Romney's 220, Romney was 206. And McCain was 179.
Trump will be right in the middle. Trump's going to be 187.
You think he'll get more than McCain?
Yeah, he'll get more than McCain.
I think he's getting more than McCain because, like, the thing I'm looking at, there's Trump is already forecast. Like this map I'm looking at, Trump's already getting 163, and they haven't even filled in Arizona, which I think he's going to end up winning.
Yeah.
They haven't filled in Georgia, which I think he's going to win.
Yeah.
He's probably going to win that fifth vote in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And I think he's definitely for sure winning Iowa.
Yeah. They don't have him in.
So
and he's going
to
get.
So filling that in, he gets to 197 right there. And that and that's and the so the blank states that are left are Nevada, Florida, North Carolina. Carolina, Ohio, Michigan, the fourth vote in Maine, and the four
How
votes
much does
in
he
Maine.
Get with Ohio?
He gets 18 with Ohio, so that would put him at 215.
Ooh, see, that's the thing, man.
He's not winning Ohio.
I think he's going to get Ohio, man. But we'll see. I mean, but it's going to be
it's not going to matter.
No, it's not matter. It's just point. It's just you're just arguing kind of like this is just an argument over. Over like a 17-point spread. Is he going to cover? Is he not?
Yeah.
You're just, you know.
I'll tell you what. When do they call the election tomorrow?
They call the election at 9:30
Central. And we're talking Central Time.
Central Time. They'll call that puppy at 9:30. They'll call
it. I think they'll call it before that.
No, they won't because they won't. They got to wait for all the states to close, though. You know? That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta wait. You gotta wait for like the Florida Panhandle to vote, and so that's why I think like between 9 and 9:30 they're gonna call it.
Oh no, yeah, but I mean, be a little bit more specific because I was gonna say that as well. Like I'd say 9:15.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's gonna be early. The telltale sign that. You know that something is going very, very wrong for Clinton is if New Hampshire would happen to go to Trump. Because that's a state that he's been kind of closing in the last week or so. With that. If New Hampshire goes to Trump, you can start to raise an eyebrow. That'll start to – not that that necessarily means he's going to win – but it means that it's going to be a lot closer than we thought, and then you can like bump your clinching time for Clinton like back an hour because
we must be down in negative listeners right now.
No, people that follow us on Twitter, they know me and Kevin. Like, look, it's the election, man. You're gonna be drunk. We'll talk some Saints, but we saved it till the end. Saved it to the end.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We did pretty good. We saved it till the bitter end.
Yeah, you know.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. So, that wraps it up. So, for Dave, for Kevin, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.
Go vote.